Thank you for coming to participate in Visa Day. So today is a special day because today most of the Buddhist countries celebrate or commemorate the birth, enlightenment, and the passing away of our teacher, the Buddha. Okay. So since it's a day to commemorate the birth of the Buddha, then we should ask a question. Why Buddha came to this world? We also come to this world. Buddha also came to this world. But why Buddha came to this world? So in order to understand why Buddha came to this world, we must trace back to Buddha's past life. Now, there is 4 Asankhya and 100,000 kappas ago, when Buddha, at the time he was not yet enlightened, he was a hermit called Sumedha. At the time, he possessed 5 psychic mundane powers, 5 mundane psychic powers, and he can fly in the sky, but he not yet become Arahant, the noble one. So one day, so happened he listened that the Buddha, another Buddha, we have so many Buddha, we have so many past life. So at that time, Buddha Dipankara arose in the world. So the moment this hermit Sumedho heard the Buddha Dipankara arose in the world, his body was thrilled with joy. And he made an aspiration. He wanted to become Buddha. Although at that time, he was able to become Arahant if the Buddha Dipankara give him a short stanza, very short, few words stanza, he was able to become Arahant. However, he thought to himself, if I became Arahant, I myself liberated from all sufferings, but there are so many human beings, there are so many living beings in the world still undergone suffering. So if I alone liberated from suffering, it will be very selfish for me. Therefore, he abandoned his desire to become Arahant. Instead, he made a noble aspiration to become Buddha. This is why he came to this world. Out of compassion for all human beings, for the welfare and happiness for all human beings, not only human beings, including Devas, Mara, Brahmas. So out of compassion for all beings, he sacrificed himself. Because he had to undergo many forms of suffering in order to become Buddha. He had to practice 10 paramis. You know 10 paramis? Number one, let me explain it a bit. Number one is dana parami, charity, generosity. As a Buddhist, we always perform dana, offer to the monastic, offer to the needy, offer to the poor person, offer to anyone who needs it. And when we practice generosity, we should remember one thing. We give away our property is to overcome our own stinginess, is to overcome our attachment to our property. Because when death approaches, we also have to leave behind all our property. Why not we do now? to gain happiness and to give happiness for other beings. So this is the reason we perform generosity, and it is very easy to do. Therefore, it comes number one first, dana parami. And also by performing generosity, we can reborn in a heaven abode, heavenly plane. There is less suffering compared with human life. Okay, the second parami is sila parami, virtues. So we keep 5 precepts, we keep 10 precepts. Why should we keep precepts? Why should we abstain from killing beings, stealing, sexual misconduct, and stealing and so on? There are 2 main reasons. First one is out of compassion for other people, because we don't want our life to be taken by other people, right? We don't want our property to be stolen. Therefore, we also don't want to kill beings, don't want to commit any stealing and sexual misconduct and so on, out of compassion for others, and also because we ourselves don't like to be killed or any bad deed that happened to us, any bad karma, that bad result that happened to us. And second reason is that because we believe in the law of karma. Because we know if we abstain from all this misconduct, we will be blessed by good karma, and our life will become more smooth and abide in happiness. Okay? Number 3rd parami is nekama parami, renunciation. So today, I ask all of you to make a wish. All the men wish to become a monk, and all the female wish to become a nun. How many of you make such wish? I think some say no, I want to become more wealthy. I think few want to make a wish to become, to fulfill this renunciation parami. Okay. Renunciation parami not only to become monk and nun, but also renounce all types of sensual enjoyment. Because all the sensual enjoyment make one become more greedy. Attachment grows, clinging grows. When you indulge in sensual enjoyment, attachment and clinging is the origin of all suffering. Okay. And number 4th parami is called panya parami, wisdom parami. We all have to cultivate wisdom by... There are 3 types of wisdom. Number 1 is called sutta, maya, panya. The wisdom comes from listening to talks. The second one is cinta, maya, panya. The wisdom comes from reflection, wise reflection. Think wisely. Okay. The 3rd one, bhavana, maya, panya. The wisdom comes from meditation, comes from mental development. Okay. The 5th parami is called viriya parami. Effort. The perfection of effort. So when you come to meditation, when we come to doing all the good deeds, we must have the effort. Persistent effort without giving up. For example, when you do your sitting, there's some pain, then you move here and there, it's called no viriya. Come to meditation, you need strong, persistent effort. Buddha said, let my blood dry up. Let my flesh, sinew, dry up. I shall not move until I attain Nibbana. This is called Viriya Parami. Okay? The next one, the 6th, is called Kanti Parami, patient. Whether you are in meditation or in your worldly life, we need a lot of patience. Otherwise, our mind will constantly give in to anger. Okay? And the next one, parami, is called satya, the truth, speaking the truth. Whenever you speak the truth. Don't tell lies. Buddha often give advice to his son, Rahula. Never tell lies. Otherwise, people will not trust you. So this truth, parami, is very important. If you never tell lies, you always speak the truth. And whatever speech you have, people believe it. People follow. People trust you. And this is extremely important in your business. Trustworthy. And those who are speaking the truth all the time, his talk is very impressive. Otherwise, if a person always tell lies, he cannot give a good talk. Okay? The next one, metta parami. Metta, loving kindness, meditation, loving kindness, a perfection of loving kindness. Always wish all beings be free from suffering, be well and happy. It's called metta parami. The next one is adhitana, determination. So when come to practice, you must have strong determination. Without achieving the goal, you will never give up, never withdraw until the goal is achieved. It's called adhitana parami, perfection of determination. And the last one, upekha parami, equanimity. This is the most difficult one. Why? Because when you practice upekha parami, when people abuse you, kick you, attack you, or kill you, harass you, you must keep your mind in the middle without giving in to anger. And when people praise you, honor you, pay respect to you, you also keep your mind in the middle without giving in to pride, happiness, and joy. So always keep the mind in the middle, unmoved. The mind is unmoved regarding to praise or abuse, harass, and so on. So Buddha Sumedha, Bodhisattva, has to practice these 10 paramis in order to become Buddha. And it takes four asankhya and 100,000 kapas. It's a long, long, long time to fulfill all these 10 paramis. Therefore, we say that Buddha come to this world not only for himself, for the welfare and happiness for all beings. And it's also for this reason, when Buddha came to this world in Rukmini, the park of Rukmini, the whole earth quick shake. When we come to this world, did the earth quake or not? Yes or no? No. Why? Because we come to this world only for ourselves. But Buddha come to this world is for the welfare and happiness for all beings. So the whole world, the earth must quake in order to rejoice in his coming to this world. It's a great person, not ordinary person. So the earth also cannot stand. Also cannot stand the virtues of the Buddha, the noblest being come to this world. So the earth responded to his coming to this world. Okay. So Buddha was born in Rukmini, now is in Nepal, close to the India. And after Buddha was born, the whole Sakyan country celebrate the coming of the Siddhartha, the Prince Siddhartha. He was born in the lawyer family, and his father, King Suddhodana, invited five wise person who are skillful in reading the sign of a great man. And among these five wise teachers, four persons predicted that this Prince Siddhartha either will become universal monarch or become Buddha. Either one. But there's another one we call Kondanya. Kondanya is the first person who attained Arya when he heard the Buddha turn the wheel of the Dhamma. So at that time, Kondanya is also among the five, and he predicted Buddha only will become, so Prince Siddhartha will become Buddha only, no universal monarch. Okay, so as a king, King Suddhodana, he wanted the Prince Siddhartha to take over his kingdom. Therefore, he didn't want him to become Buddha. So he prevented him to see the suffering in life. To see the sick person, old person, prevent him to meet, to encounter with old person, sick person or dead person. And King Suddhodana provided him with all the luxuries in life. Because only when you see suffering, you want to become monk and nun. When you live in a happy life, you never think of becoming monk and nun. So after Prince Siddhartha grown up, then he enjoyed all the sensual pleasures until one day. Suddenly, he went out of the palace and encountered sick person. And another day, he encountered old person. And another day, he encountered dead person. And he was moved. His heart was moved. And there's one question he asked himself. This question we call Cinta Maya Panya. The wisdom comes from wise reflection. Just now I mentioned there are three types of wisdom, right? One is from listening to talk, another one is come from your insight. You know how to reflect wisely when you see something. It's called Cinta Maya Panya. Wisdom comes from reflection. So at that time when he met with old age, sickness and death, he asked himself a very important question. He said, why being myself subject to birth, aging, sickness and death, sorrow, lamentation, defilements, do I seek after what is also subject to these things? Are you subject to aging, sickness and death, sorrow, lamentation and defilements? Yes or no? And you also married with another one who is also subject to aging, sickness, death, defilements. Therefore, we are different from Buddha. We are different from Prince Siddhartha. He knows how to think wisely. Therefore, he made a determination, I'm not going to seek after what is subject to old age, sickness and death. Then he said, suppose I sought after unborn. What is unborn? Nibbana, enlightenment. Okay, so after that he met with a renunciate, a hermit, baking food. So his mind also was moved. He said that I should behave like him. I seek after unborn, not seek after family, not seek after spouse, not seek after son and daughters. Because son and daughter, spouse are all subject to aging, sickness, death, sorrow, lamentation, and defilement. Same like me. What for? I seek after them? No, I'm going to seek a path to enlightenment. Therefore, he decided to renounce, to give up his kingdom. And finally, last day, he left. At that time, his son, only son, was born. Just came to this world. Without seeing his son, he renounced the world and left the palace. Okay, now a question for you. Do you think the Prince Siddhartha is irresponsible to his family? Do you think his action, his renunciation is irresponsible to his family? Yes or no? No. So no, when your son and daughter want to become monks and nuns, you say no, you cannot become monks and nuns. You have to take care your parents, you have to take care the family. It's very irresponsible to become monk and nun without taking the parents. Usually when I ask people to become monk and nun, they will answer me like that. I got to take care my spouse, my husband. I got to take care my son and daughter. I got to take care my parents. If Prince Siddhartha behave like you, no Buddha will arise in the world. Okay? So we have to go back to the reason why Prince Siddhartha or the Buddha come to this world. This is the reason I explained to you why he came to this world. For what reason? For the welfare, happiness of all beings. This is his only motive, his only goal to come to this world, of course, for his own enlightenment. So his coming to this world is not only for himself. Okay? So if you think that he is irresponsible, then you are short-sighted because you only see your own family. But his coming to this world is for all the world. You see, the Buddha's sasana, the Buddha's dispensation has spread out to the West, to the Europe, to the Southeast Asia, because Buddha originated from India. Now, his teaching has spread out to America, Europe, Southeast Asia, and now Africa. I have one African friend who is monk. African man. When he smile, I only see his teeth. No, cannot see his face. Therefore, one being come to this world, can let the teaching last for 2,600 years. So if you have the mind like Prince Siddhartha, then don't think of your own family. You think of your own family, this is called your mind is very narrow-minded. We need more people who have bigger vision, so that the world can find some refuge. Okay? So after he renounced the world, however, Prince Siddhartha, when he renounced the world, when he became enlightened, he came back to his country and preached the Dharma to his parents. He's not a person without gratitude. He came back to his own country and preached the Dharma to his father, and his father became noble person. And at that time, his mother, Maya, already died. So the Buddha also went to the heaven to teach the Dharma to his departed mother, who already become Deva. So he is not a person without gratitude. So the Buddha said, we cannot pay back our gratitude to our parents by carrying his body on shoulder and go for eons. No. The only thing we can pay back our gratitude to our parents is by teaching them Dharma, ask them to do good deeds, and If they have parami, they become ariya, then you have clear your debt to your parents. So when Prince Siddhartha came back to his own country, many of his clan, his cousin or his relative, most of them become noble one, except only one person, Devadatta. Devadatta is also his relative, but Devadatta, because he has bad intention, therefore his bad karma blocked him to become a noble one. Then the rest of his relative all become a noble beings. Therefore, we cannot see, we cannot say Prince Siddhartha is irresponsible to his family. So after the Buddha, after the Prince Siddhartha announced the world, he practiced 6 years self-mortification, torturing himself. Why he should torture himself? Because during that time, it's the culture of all the Indian, it's the Indian culture. At that time, there's no Buddha's teaching. And Indian culture said that all the defilements come from body. So you cannot enjoy sensual pleasure using your body. You've got to torture your body. Don't come to contact with any sensual things. Therefore, at the time he has not yet become enlightened, he has no wisdom to understand this is not the correct path. So he followed the culture of India and he practiced self-mortification, fasting, until he becomes so emaciated, and when he touched his front bone, he can touch his backbone due to fasting, extremely fasting. Okay. At that time, from this incident, for Buddha's fasting for 6 years, torturing himself for 6 years, we come to conclusion. The importance of right view. Why he tortured himself? Because at that time, the whole India practiced the wrong view. When the view is wrong, your practice is also wrong. Your speech also wrong, your action also wrong, your practice also wrong. Therefore, Buddha said, right view is the first light in the morning. As a Buddhist, the first thing you have to cultivate is right view, so that your practice will not go wrong. If your practice goes wrong, you will never reach destination. You are sidetracked, and you will never reach destination. And right views is the foremost, and it's the top, it's the head, it's the leader of Noble Eightfold Path. The path to Nibbana, right view come first. Therefore, from Prince Siddhartha, practice self-mortification, suffer for 6 years. Simply, of course, one reason is because of his karma. The second reason is, at that time, there is no right view in the world. So, after fasting for so many years, he became so emaciated, and still he was not enlightened. Then he started to ask himself. Sometimes we've got to ask ourselves also. After practicing for so many years, why no improvement? We've got to ask ourselves. Just like him, ask himself. Okay? Then he asked, might there be another way to enlightenment? He thought this self-mortification, he has practiced up to the extreme already, still cannot find enlightenment. Then he think, this is not the way. This is not the way. Then he asked himself, might there be another way to enlightenment. And at that time, he remembered when he was a child, he sat under rose apple tree and entered into first jhana. He started to recall his experience, jhana experience. Then he asked himself again, do I afraid of that pleasure which is devoid of sensual pleasure and unwholesome states? Why he asked himself this question? Because I have said during that time, all the practitioner torture his body, cannot enjoy any sensual pleasures, cannot have pleasure. They thought pleasure lead to luxury that lead oneself far away from the enlightenment. And first jhana, there's a lot of pleasure. Then he asked himself, do I afraid of that pleasure? Then he said, no. Why? Because first jhana is not sensual pleasures. It's a pleasure devoid of sensual and devoid of unwholesome states. And it's based on right view. It's also one of the Noble Eightfold Path. Then he thought to himself, with such a weak body, he was so thin, so emaciated, no energy at all. Then he said, with such weak body, I cannot attain jhana. I must regain my energy again. How to regain the energy? Start eating. Eating boiled rice, eating solid food. So he resumed his food. When he resumed his food, the five monks, the five ascetics who had been following for 6 years felt so disgusted. He thought Prince Siddhartha has fallen back to enjoyment of sensual pleasures, and they feel very disgusted and decided to leave Prince Siddhartha. Another sign of wrong view, right? Another sign of wrong view. So after that, Prince Siddhartha takes some solid food. Then he sit under the Bodhi tree. I cut it short now because we don't have enough time. So he sat under the Bodhi tree and remember his first jhana experience. Again, he entered into first jhana. After that, he emerged from the first jhana. He entered into second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana. After fourth jhana, he inclined his mind to the first knowledge we call the knowledge of recollecting one's past life. So he started to recollect his past life. He saw he was who and who, his family, his name, and he was born in where. So he recollected many, many of his past life. Then after that, he inclined his mind to the second knowledge we call the knowledge of the passing away and reappearance of beings according to their actions. He saw some beings are born ugly, some are born beautiful, some beings have high bond, some being has low bond. Some beings are highly intelligent, some beings are low intelligent, some beings are rich, some beings are poor, some beings born in heaven, some beings born in hell, in animal kingdom. And he saw why beings are different, why they born differently, because of their own actions. To his own knowledge, he saw cause-effect of the action. We call karma vipaka. Karma and its effect. This is the second knowledge he attained. Okay, then thirdly, finally, he attained this is the second knowledge he attained. And thirdly, he inclined his mind to the knowledge of destruction of taints. Asavakaya vahang, asavakaya, destruction of all taints. In order to attain liberation or destruction of taints, you have to contemplate what? No one can escape. If you want to become, if you want to attain Nibbana, you have to contemplate what? Four Noble Truths. 四圣谛. Okay? So at that time, he directly know this is suffering, dukkha satya. He directly knows this is the origin of suffering, samudaya satya. He directly know this is cessation of suffering, nirodha satya. And he directly know this is the path leading to the cessation of suffering, magga satya. And after that, then he attained enlightenment. He became the Arahant, he became the Buddha. And he said, unshakable is the liberation of my mind. This is my last birth. No rebirth for me anymore. Okay. So, what's important here is Four Noble Truths. So I want to explain a little bit what is Four Noble Truths. Otherwise, you will not have right view without understanding Four Noble Truths. Okay, the first Noble Truth, Dukkha Satya. What is first Noble Truth? What is the Noble Truth of suffering? You have to learn by heart. Don't learn by heart the Empat Ekong. Learn by heart the Four Noble Truths, also four. Empat Ekong and Four Noble Truths, also four. Okay, first one, the Noble Truth of suffering. Aging is suffering. Sickness is suffering. Death, separation from beloved. Then, associated from unbeloved. Now, cannot get what want. Then lastly, five aggregates of clinging. Five aggregates of clinging are the truth of suffering. So what are the five aggregates? First one, form aggregate. Second one, feeling aggregate. Third one, perception aggregate. Fourth one, formation aggregate. And the fifth one, consciousness aggregate. These five aggregates make up this so-called self, make up this so-called mind and body. And these five aggregates are ultimate truth. So-called self, he, a person, she, is only conventional truth for convenient usage. So what actually exists are these five aggregates. Okay? Then why these five aggregates are suffering? Why? Because they are impermanent. When you come to Vipassana meditation, you keep on listened, you keep on contemplate, you keep on seeing these five aggregates, then you will see these five aggregates are changing all the time. Arising, passing away, arising, vanishing, they are impermanent. And Buddha said, what is impermanent is dukkha. Being oppressed by constant arising and passing away is dukkha. And what is impermanent, subject to change, dukkha, suffering, cannot be regarded as permanent self. Cannot be regarded as myself. Therefore, these five aggregates of clinging are impermanent, suffering, and non-self, anicca, dukkha, anatta. That's why they are called the truth of suffering. If these five aggregates are permanent happiness and self, then they will call the truth of happiness. Unfortunately, these five aggregate, no matter you attach it or not, they are impermanent, suffering, and non-self. So when we come to vipassana, what we practice, what we see the five aggregates first. Understand the five aggregates first, then we start to see they are impermanent, changing, oppressed by changing, they are suffering and non-self. This is the way to vipassana. Okay, then the second truth, the origin of suffering. As the Buddha's teaching is concerned with cause and effect, so now suffering exists. The noble truth of suffering exists. But what caused the suffering? What is the source? What is the origin of this suffering? What is that? The five aggregates cannot come to being. We cannot come to this human world without the cause. So what is the cause? Please answer me. What is the cause? Craving. As a Buddhist, you got to understand this four noble truths. Otherwise, you will not progress. You will not progress in your path. You must understand five aggregates are suffering. You also must understand why this suffering exists. What caused this suffering? Only then you know how to tackle, how to solve the cause. Without knowing the cause, how am I going to cure the cause? I cannot, because I don't know what caused me coming to this world, right? So what caused human being come to this world? Because of craving. And there are three types of craving. What are they? First one, craving for sensual pleasures. We want to enjoy sensual pleasures. When there's enjoyment, there's craving. So craving, wanting to enjoy sensual pleasures, then we come to this world to enjoy sensual pleasures. Secondly, because we want to live continuously. After that, we want to come back again. We want to come back again. We want to come again and again, again and again. If I say after arahant, no more coming to this world, nobody want to become arahant. This very clearly show that every being crave for existence. Coming again, existence, exist. Non-exist is not okay for them. Okay, so the second reason, the second craving is craving for existence. The third one is not so important, we will escape from it. So the main two reasons why the aggregate, five aggregate arise in this world, because of craving for sensual pleasures and because of craving for existence. This is cause and effect. Okay, so can the suffering come to the end or not? Will the suffering come to the end? If no, then there's hopeless, right? If no, then hopeless. And for this reason, the Buddha appeared in this world. Buddha give us light, give us hope. Because Buddha said, yes, suffering will come to the end. But what? You must practice. It will not come to the end automatically. Suffering will not simply come to the end automatically without you practice. And practice what? Practice what? Then Buddha further say, practice noble eightfold path. So the third noble truth is what? The third noble truth is a cessation of suffering. Buddha give you guarantee, give you insurance that suffering will come to the end. But there's one but. But you have to follow noble eightfold path. Therefore, Buddha finally say the fourth noble truth is the path leading to the cessation of suffering. That is noble eight four path. What are the noble eight four path? Number one, right view. Please remember, right view. And what is right view? Right view is understanding the four noble truths. Come back to the origin again. Understanding the four noble truths. Four noble truths is right. Right view. Understanding cause and effect. Karma and vipaka is also called right view. So in order to check your own practice, you must constantly ask yourself whether you have right view or not. Do I have right view? If no, if your right view is not correct, the following seven factors, noble eight four path, the following seven factors all will be wrong because right view is a leader. So right view is correct, the following seven factors will be correct. Please remember this point, because I don't want you to waste time without achieving the goal. Okay? Okay, the second one, right thought. The thought of renunciation, the thought of non-ill will, the thought of non-cruelty. It's called right thought. The next one, right speech, right action, right livelihood. And the next one, right effort. Effort. And the seventh one, right mindfulness. Mindfulness is regarding the four foundations of mindfulness. You must always be mindful of your body, your feeling, your mental state, and the Dhamma. Tomorrow I will explain this four foundations of mindfulness. Okay? And the last one, right concentration. Sama Samadhi. You must have right concentration because Buddha said without concentration, one cannot see things as they really are. Without concentration, one cannot see impermanent suffering and non-self of five aggregates. So, after Buddha fully understand this four noble truths and he become Arahant and become enlightened, become the Buddha. Okay, so today I will stop here and I will give chance for our interpreter to speech, to give translation, short translation in Mandarin. Okay, and tomorrow I will continue my talk again.